Hey there. Welcome to the Loco Travel Life Podcast, where we, two moms and sisters, share our experiences of traveling with our kiddos. I'm Lindsay, or as my nephews call me, Lolo.
And I'm Carly, aka Auntie Coco, and we're your hosts.
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about all things travel and emotions. I personally am so excited for our guest today. We have with us fellow mama, podcaster, and emotional regulation coach, Tira Wages. I'm seriously fangirling right now. Tira is the host of the podcast Connection Codes with Dr. Glenn Hill and his wife, Phyllis Hill. And their podcast literally changed how my husband and I process emotions and changed our marriage. So personally, I can't wait to hear some emotional regulation tips from Tira, because let's be honest, if you've taken any trip with kiddos, you've probably experienced some pretty big emotions. Before we dive in, Tira, we want to hear about you. Tell us about your family, how many kiddos, where home is for you.
Oh my goodness, so many kiddos. I am based in Franklin, Tennessee, so just south of Nashville. I have been married for 15 years to who I think is the greatest man on earth. And he convinced me, because I love him so much, to have four kids. And so we have four kids, ages 10, 8, 6, and 4. I am crawling out of like the dark season of the tiny, tiny humans at home, which I have so much compassion for mamas with kids under 4, because it is a lot. We traveled for the first 5 years of our marriage. Before having kids, that was our goal, to see as many places as we could. And so we went to about 30 countries together, he and I did, before kids. And that just really gave us confidence and that everything is figure outable when you're traveling. We ran into a lot of really crazy roadblocks on our trips. We've experienced some wild things for sure, but it taught us that anything is possible and that our kids can adapt. And so now that we've had them, we haven't gone international with them yet, but we have driven them cross country many times. And we've flown with them multiple times. They're ready to go at any moment.
Travel with your kiddos is always very fun.
Yes.
Super curious about your perspective on this one. At least for me, I feel like emotions tend to be a little bit more enhanced on family trips or vacations. Not sure if it's scientific, but do you think emotions escalate quicker on vacations?
Yeah, for me, I think it goes down to even personality types, especially if you have a home with multiple kids and you have multiple personality types. And so with us, ironically, when we're at home, I tend to be the one with more heightened emotions, but I turn into vacation Tira. When I'm on the road, I am cool as a freaking cucumber. The second our booties hit the airplane, I am in vacation mode. Up until that moment, that's where my intense emotions are hitting, and checking all of the boxes and making sure we have everything, and just pretty fearful that I'll forget something. And then once we're on the plane, for some reason, Wes flips, and then he's the heightened emotion one. For us, over time, I think we learn on the road what our triggers are and how we each adapt on vacation. Because I do think that it is so easy for things to feel heightened because you're in a new place. There's the sense of the unknown, and with the unknown can come fear very easily. And when you are functioning from a place of fear and unknown, everything is heightened around you. So to answer that question, yes, I do think that they feel heightened for a lot of people on vacation, depending on their personality type.
When emotions are heightened, when big feelings are happening, how do you process those emotions on family trips? And then taking that kind of a step further, how do you help your kiddos process those emotions?
Yeah. So truthfully, we practice a lot at home before we go on trips, because we already know that the trips are going to be a little more difficult. And the Connection Codes, which is the company that I'm running and I'm the host of the podcast, as you had mentioned, Lindsay, They have a 4-minute tool that will teach you how to identify and process your emotions. And so we use this tool with our kids every single day. I have learned that when my kids can identify what's happening in their bodies, then they can learn to verbalize what's happening in their body. And so I think back to a trip we did pre-connection codes. My daughter was 5 and we were like, we're going to drive to Portland from Alabama. And we were just in our production van. We were going out there for a video shoot. And we were like, we'll just stay in different hotels or Airbnbs, or we'll camp some nights. And so we were staying in a new location every single night almost. And we didn't realize how that was impacting our 5-year-old. For her, not having a routine, waking up in a different bed every single day, not knowing where she was waking up, it was dysregulating her system tremendously. And by the time we made it to San Francisco, that child was losing her mind. I mean, she was not functioning clearly. And as parents, at the time, I didn't know what was happening for her. I didn't know. I couldn't put together, oh, she's in a different bed every night. You know, like I wasn't thinking clearly in that moment. We're on the sidewalk in San Francisco and homegirl is screaming at the top of her lungs and I can't get her to move and everyone is staring at me. And so in that moment, I can't teach her, this is how you need to verbalize what's happening for you. That's not the moment to teach. And so now when we're home, I can use this tool that we have, this 4-minute tool, and she's able to learn what fear feels like in her body and what shame feels like in her body. So now when we go on trips, she can tell me even before we leave, I'm having fear about what the weather is going to be like. Can we look at the weather again before we go? And I know, okay, let's look and see what the weather's going to be like in Portland so we know what to pack. And anytime she comes to me, she's like, I'm having fear about this. She tends to be my more fearful kid. Then we can communicate that. And when we're on the road and something is coming up for her, she can communicate it to me often. For me, I get hit with a lot of emotion. So when my child is screaming on the sidewalk in San Francisco, my emotions get heightened way more intensely than if she was screaming on the sidewalk in our neighborhood. I have so much shame because people are staring at me. And I don't know how long this is going to last. And I don't know if somebody's going to call the police because now it looks like we're kidnapping this child and putting her in the back of a large production van. And me learning how to regulate my own emotions. Now, when my kids are heightened, I can recognize, oh, I'm feeling shame right now. That has nothing to do with them. And I can communicate with them at a much lower level. And as long as I can keep my emotions lower, it helps theirs to stay pretty steady. The second my emotions get heightened, whoo, we are off to the races and it is not going to be pretty wherever we are.
I'm a baby at this. I was honestly just listening to episode 1 the other day and my husband listened to the intro. I'm super curious, you know, hearing you say there's a 4-minute tool. That sounds perfect to me. And I could work on that with my kiddos like before our next trip. It's definitely a takeaway thing that I want to work on, especially since emotions are high in my family sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I think any parent that's listening they're like, oh yeah, emotions are high at my house too. That's one of the beautiful things that I've learned about emotions. We, as parents, before I understood what their guide is and what their purpose is in our bodies, when my kids were showing emotion, I viewed that as bad. You know, like if they're pitching a fit, I felt like I was a bad parent. I had done something wrong for my kid to behave in this manner. Or I would try to stop them. You know, like the day she's pitching a fit, no, stop, be quiet. Let me get you in the car and hide you. And then I'm going to yell at you for acting the way you just acted and to everyone else. And we don't recognize that our kids are not choosing to feel what they're feeling. When my daughter was feeling fear every day on our trip and she didn't know how to communicate that to me, she wasn't choosing. She didn't wake up every morning and say, oh, I can't wait to lose my mind on my mom later. Like, I can't wait to yell at everybody later. You know, I can't wait to be super angry with her or, you know, be really, really sad when I don't get the toy at the end of the ride at Disneyland. They aren't choosing to feel what they are feeling. And I think often as parents, we think that they are choosing that behavior. And yeah, the behavior is a really painful response, but that's only because they don't know how to put it into words. They don't know how to verbalize the sad and the shame and the fear or the anger. And we have to teach them what that language looks like. And so our 4-minute tool is super easy. My 4-year-old will go and get it and bring it to me and say, can we do the feelings? He calls it the feelings. Can we do the feelings? He walked into my room today and said, oh, I just feel really sad. I just feel sad. And for him to tell me I feel sad instead of just laying on the floor and screaming for an hour is such a game changer in my life. And especially on vacation when emotions are already more heightened and more difficult to navigate.
I probably could have used that in the store today with my screaming child.
I get that. I get that. I have recognized for myself how much my emotional response affects my kids. And so even the other night, we all miss, we all make mistakes. And my son was using his words to be unkind. And our number one value as a family is that we don't use our words or our bodies to hurt other people. No matter what we are feeling, we do not use our words or our bodies to cause pain for others. And he was using his words to be unkind to his siblings. And I started yelling at him. I was flooded with anger and just started yelling at him. And later my husband was like, T, that was pretty intense response you gave him. Like, he's a good kid. And you know, he was making a mistake, but think of all these other great things he'd done that day. And I was like, oh, now I realize that I was hit with shame in those moments. Like, I was feeling shame that my kid would talk like that, that they would use their words like that. And the second I responded to my son in that way, all I'm doing is creating a cycle for him to respond back to me that way. I'm teaching him what responses are supposed to look like. And me learning to regulate my own emotions has helped my kids more than me teaching them how to regulate their emotions.
I would agree with that immensely. If I'm not emotionally regulated, if I don't know what's happening for me, I can't help Kai. Yeah. Like when he's screaming on the plane because something's happening, I have to realize like, okay, yes, I'm feeling shame right now, but that doesn't change that I'm still a good mom. Yeah. We're just having a hard moment. And it's okay for him to feel whatever he's feeling too.
Yes. And in those moments for me, I realize my shame actually has nothing to do with my child. Like it really doesn't. That's my own inner dialogue with myself that has nothing to do with them. So when I'm projecting my own shame onto them, I'm asking them to conform themselves and what they're feeling to fit my own comfort level. And I think, especially in America, we have created a society where our kids need to adapt to our comfort level. It is not about teaching them how to have spaces to make mistakes and to learn emotional regulation and to be a 2-year-old, you know, or a 3-year-old. One time my daughter was in the car, we were on a long road trip, and she was pitching a fit in the car and just crying. And this pre-connection codes. And I looked at my husband. I was like, she's acting like a 5-year-old. And he said, well, Tira, she's 3. And I was like, oh, yes, you're right. She is 3. This is normal behavior for a 3-year-old. We just have an expectation of what kids are supposed to be like. And they can't do that. And the more we try to make them, all we're doing is silencing them. So then as they age and as they grow up, they are shut down and they're not going to communicate with us what's happening in their body. So then we have teenagers, we have young adults that are struggling with body image issues, you know, all of these like internal pains that young people are dealing with today. We have grown adults that are struggling silently because they were taught at a young age, be quiet, you're okay. when in reality, they were actually really not okay in that moment.
So we kind of talked about emotions and how you've been preparing your kiddos with the connection codes really for just life, and that that tool really helps you during travel. So have you noticed a shift or change when you come home from a trip and how you kind of process and unwind from those emotions?
That's a great question. There's definitely some processing when we get home, and we will use the core emotion wheel, which people can get from our website. And we will create time. Usually we'll do it around the dinner table or individually at night before bed. And we can just like process the trip together. Even right now, we just came back. It's not a trip, but we were at friend's house for dinner and we come home and I could tell they were emotionally not ready to be home. They were pretty upset walking in the door. And so we just give them, we ooh them. We're asking like, what's happening with you? Which that's the main question we ask. Like when our kid is showing up in a state of dysregulation, then we pause, we slow down and we ask, instead of why are you crying? They don't know why they're crying. They're just crying. But when we can turn the question and ask, what's happening with you? What's happening for you? Suddenly they can like tune into their bodies a bit more and find out, oh, I'm feeling sad. They can access that emotion. Or if they fell on the sidewalk and they come in the house crying, what happened? Now they can tell you the story of what happened instead of why they're crying. And those are two very different responses that click in their brain.
I'm super curious. Why do you love to travel? And why do you think it's important to take your kiddos with you?
Ooh, yeah. I love to travel because I think it is so important to see other humans. I think it is really important to expand your worldview of how other people live and appreciate culture. For me, I love culture and it has just opened my eyes. And I think it's made me a more loving person and a more understanding person. I'm less quick to judge others because I have been able to see so much of the world. And same for my kids. I very much look forward to taking them everywhere. The first place I really want to take them to Costa Rica because there's so much culture there and it's just such a beautiful place. And I want them to see people cooking their food outside. And, you know, we live in this nice, beautiful subdivision, you know, the cookie cutter life. And I look forward to them getting to see how other humans slow down in life and exist together and love each other well in a way that I think we as America really miss out on.
Love that.
Yeah. I think the more people you meet around the world, like the better off you are.
Tira, is there anything else you want to add in?
One thing that does come to my mind that I always want moms to know when they're thinking about a trip, because I think that there's so much anxiety, especially for the mom going into a trip, because you don't know how your kid is going to respond on an airplane. Are they going to cry the whole time? I think that's every mom's like worst fear on the airplane. Are they going to cry the whole time? And there have been times I've been on a plane alone with my kids and like holding one of them. And I just sit there the whole time. I'm like, this is only one day. This is only one day. Like I just remind myself I can do anything for a few hours or for a day. And so I just am constantly coaching myself. Even if things are going completely haywire, this is only one day and it is totally worth the experience of what we are doing. And so I just want to remind moms that it is worth that little bit of pain. It's worth a 3-hour painful flight to get to your dream place of where you want to go. I think we hold ourselves back so often from experiencing life because we don't think it's accessible or we don't feel like the pain is worth it. And it is, you know, the processing through the fear of getting there, processing through the pain of being on the flight is worth it to get there in the end. And so that's something that I always think about. And sorry, I have one more thing I want to say. I feel so much shame right now.
I think that's okay. A perfect takeaway and it encourages our mamas out there. And I think that that's amazing. So thank you. We typically even ask that. So we're like, sleeping a little bit here. It's okay.
I'm in my PJs already. So we are.
I am too. Company. It's okay.
The other thing that Wes and I talked about recently is I think that so many people think the world is so far out of reach. And we are actually headed to Alaska, he and I, next Wednesday. And we're only going for 5 nights. That's the only amount of time that we had available for this trip. And I was talking to a good friend and she was like, oh, only 5 nights? Like, I feel like that's somewhere you need to go for 2 weeks. And I think that when we have a mindset that I need to block 2 weeks to go somewhere, that actually stops us from going anywhere. It stops us from seeing the things that we want to see. Wes and I want to see the Northern Lights, and we can go for 5 days and we can cross that off of our list, and he can go back one day if he wants to go back one day. We've flown across the country and we've gone to Calgary for the weekend before. Like, things are so much more accessible than we realize. And it's better to spend a small amount of time and actually do it, actually see it and experience it, than to feel like, oh, I need 6 weeks to do Europe. If you have that mindset, you're not going to do Europe, more than likely. Pick the place you really want to go, block off the 5 days and go and do it. And you will not regret that. You can always go back. Always go back.
Kira, this is why I wanted to interview you. You are so good with words and encouragement and just great.
Thank you. I could talk about travel all day. So when you message me, you're like, you want to talk about travel? Yes, ma'am. Where? Let's go. So I love that. Thank you for letting me be here, for sure.
If our listeners want to know more about the connection codes, the tool, how can they connect with you and learn more?
Yes. So we have a podcast, the Connection Codes podcast. That's a great place to start. But if you're like, I need this tool so my kid can start learning, go to connectioncodes.co and you can download the tool for free. Right now, our tool is directed towards the husband and wife, right? That initial video that you would download is talking about a marriage relationship, but it can be used for you and your partner. It can be used with you and your kids. I use it with my mom. It's a universal, I use it with myself. So when you're packing for a big trip and you're feeling overwhelmed in that process, I pull out that tool. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling shame because I didn't get the turtleneck I needed to get. Like, I can process my own emotion. And what it does is it clears out your brain so you can actually think clearly. When our brains are flooded with emotion, we are not thinking clearly and we're making poor decisions. And that's when we forget to pack our underwear because we were flooded when we were packing. And so when we can process even with ourselves, that's super helpful. So you can get that on our website.
I will leave a link to your podcast and your website in the show notes. So if your only takeaway from this episode is to go check out the Connection Codes podcast, that is a win for us today.
Awesome. I love that.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Loco Travel Life podcast. Until next time, Loco Travel Lifers, get out there, face the loco, and enjoy your next adventure. You've got this.